share with you some. Samahanta chakkhavalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam muni rajasa sunantu saka mokhadam dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. So today I'd like to share with you two vehicles to liberations. It's our main topic for this retreat, right? So what are these two vehicles? One is concentration, samatha, and the other one is insight. Insight we call vipassana meditation. So I think for a practitioner, it is necessary to understand the difference between these two. Otherwise, when people ask you what type of meditation you are practicing with, you cannot answer. You don't even know what is samatha, what is insight meditation. Therefore, as an advanced meditator, you should be able to distinguish what is insight meditation, what is samatha meditation. So samatha meditation we call concentration meditation or tranquility meditation. Usually takes conceptual object, not paramattha, not ultimate reality. So concentration meditation takes conceptual object as is object and focus on it for a long duration of times. For example, anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, we take breath. We do not focus on the wind element of the breath. We just know it as breath, in breath and out breath. But we do not focus or we do not pay attention to its wind element of pushing. Right? Pushing. We didn't pay attention to pushing. We just pay attention to in breath and out breath as conceptual object. If we pay attention to in-breath and out-breath as wind element, then this is not samatha meditation anymore. So, I repeat, samatha meditation takes conceptual object. And apart from anapanasati, another example is four Brahma vihara, four sublime abiding metta, loving kindness meditation, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and the last one, upekkha, equanimity. So for this meditation subject, we take conceptual object as well. What are the conceptual object of four Brahma vihara? Satta, beings, right? When I read it, loving kindness, I read it, loving kindness to particular beings. My teacher, my friend, are all beings. So beings are also concept, not ultimate reality. Compassion also, may you be free from all suffering. You is only concept, right? It's not ultimate reality. So may all beings be free from suffering. all beings are also concepts, not ultimate realities. Then may your achievement continue to grow, not lost. Your achievement is also concept. And then sabbe sattā kamma sakkha, all beings are the heir of their karma. All beings. So this also concept. Therefore, like for Brahma Vihara, also taking concept as object. And all the casino, you know, a color casino, white casino, red casino, brown casino, yellow casino, also take color as object. Therefore, samatha meditation take concept as object, only then one can enter into jhana. Taking ultimate reality as object, one cannot achieve jhana. This is the difference. Huh? So samatha meditation takes concept object and focus on it for a long duration of times, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, until the mind is fully concentrated. Then one enter into excess concentration and absorption concentration. At that time, one cannot hear anything. The mind fully absorbed with the object. There is concentration. And with the concentrated mind, the mind becomes very radiant, bright, malleable. Only then, using that radiant, malleable mind, then one shift to vipassana and one can see things as they really are. Okay, so this samatha meditation. Let's now go to vipassana or insight meditation. Insight meditation sees ultimate realities as they really are. And the purpose of insight meditation is to eliminate the wrong view of self, the wrong view of self about himself or about the world. Now, to eliminate wrong view of self about person, he, she, or about the world. So vipassana insight meditation see things as they really are. What are the things? Ultimate realities. So what are the ultimate realities mentioned by the Buddha? The first one, five aggregates, right? Form aggregate, feelings, perceptions, formations, and consciousness. And also elements, four elements, earth elements, water elements, fire element, and wind element. These are ultimate realities. And also six senses, eye-based, ear-based, nose-based, tongue-based, body-based, and mind-based. And the next one, dependent origination. Dependent origination is also ultimate reality. And the last one, Four Noble Truths. So as an insight meditation, as insight meditator, your focus is within five aggregates, four elements, or six elements, or five elements, and six sense bases, dependent origination, and four noble truths. So if you want to practice insight meditation, make sure your scope is within, fall within these ultimate realities. Let me repeat again. Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, see things as they really are. We have now explained what are the things, right? The scope. What is the meaning as they really are? See things as they really are. What as they really are, or as it really is. Now we know we have to take five aggregate as object. So how are you going to contemplate five aggregates? How are you going to see it? How are you going to regard this five aggregate? So we should regard this five aggregate of four elements or six sense spaces or dependent origination as anicca, dukkha, anatta. Asubha, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So we should pay attention to the three common characteristics of ultimate realities, which is impermanence, unsatisfactory, and not a permanent self. So if you want to practice insight meditation, you must make sure first your object of your contemplation must fall within the five aggregate, and the way you see it must be accordant with the truth. What is the truth? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Is it clear? Okay. The next question, why should we see things as they really are? Why? Because we always see things wrongly. We see things as permanent, we see things as happiness, we see things as possessing a self, having a self. And because of seeing wrongly, as a result, what happened? What happened, Suki? Seeing wrongly, what happened?
Seeing as they are.
Before seeing as they are, we see wrongly. So seeing wrongly, what is the consequences?
We claim.
Yes, correct. Because of seeing wrongly, we get very attached. We cling to what we see. Because what we see is only happiness. What we see is only permanent. What we see as having enduring self, as permanent self. And seeing wrongly, seeing in this way, we cling. We attach. We get attached. We cling. And this attachment and clinging, precisely this attachment and clinging is the noble, is the origin of the truth of suffering. Right? We come back to the Four Noble Truths. The origin of the noble truth of suffering is precisely this clinging and attachment. Attachment to what? Come back to the what I have explained. Attachment to what? Cling to what?
Five aggregates.
Yes. I have just mentioned. Cling to what?
Five aggregates.
Five aggregate. Ayatana, six sense spaces, four elements. In short, mind and body. Internally, your mind and body, as well as externally, other people's mind and body. So you get attached to your spouse. You get attached to your family members, right? Because you cling to them as happiness, permanent, and having substantiality. So, therefore, the purpose of insight meditation is to see the ultimate realities as they really are, as impermanent, suffering, and non-self, so that we can gradually let go of that attachment and clinging. And insight meditation focus on the five aggregate. Why? Because five aggregate, or another word, mind and body, is the object of our clinging. Therefore, we say five aggregates of clinging. These five aggregates subject to clinging with view, with craving, with conceit. So we cling to these five aggregates as mine with craving, as I, this I am, with conceit, and with self, atta, wrong view. So we cling to this five aggregates with craving, conceit, and wrong view. And in order to get rid of this craving, conceit, and wrong view, we have to keep on seeing this five aggregate. Keep on seeing it, keep on taking them as object, so that we can see their own nature. What is the nature of five aggregate? Yes, arising and passing away. The nature of five aggregate is arising and passing away, impermanent. So if you do not hold your attention to this five aggregate, if you do not discern or do not observe this five aggregate when they arise, how are you going to see they are passing away? Right? You don't even know they are arising. Then you are unable to know they are passing away. Therefore, this five aggregate become the object of our observation to see its arising, so that we will see its passing away. So for insight meditation, first we apply mindfulness. Mindfulness, sati, know when they arise. And hold the mindfulness there. Then when wisdom matured, we will see it. We will see it's ceasing, it's perishing or vanishing. For beginning, we see it's arising, and after some times only when we see it's vanishing. But when your insight or wisdom become more matured, then the speed of arising and passing away become faster and faster. And the moment it arises, it vanishes. And it does not stop there. It re-arises and vanishes again and again. Until finally, what you see is just the process of arising and passing away, no more five aggregate. Your perception is occupied with the process of arising and passing away. Only then, when you reach that state, then you will get disenchanted. What for I cling to this process of arising and passing away? It cannot be clung to. Why? Because it does not yield to your wishes. Then you will let go. You will let go of your clinging. You will let go of your attachment. Little by little. So this is the purpose of insight meditation. Okay? Now, come to the next question. For these two vehicles, which one I should practice first? Which one I should practice first? Okay. To answer this question, I would like to quote one sutta from Anguttara Nikaya. Anguttara Nikaya 4.170. Okay? This sutta is mentioned by Ananda. Ananda said that, for those bhikkhu and bhikkhuni who have attained arahantship, they declare in front of me one of the four ways. So one of these four ways will lead you to the attainment of arahantship. And Ananda said, a monk has developed insight preceded by concentration. Insight preceded by concentration. It means that he practiced concentration first, followed by insight. As he developed insight preceded by tranquility or concentration, the path is born. And he follows that path, developed it, pursues it. As he follows the path, developing it, his defilements are abandoned. This is one way. The second way, a monk has developed concentration preceded by insight. So this person practiced insight first. Later on, he practiced concentration. Concentration preceded by insight. As he developed concentration preceded by insight, the path is born. And he follows that path, develops it. As he follows the path, developing it, his defilements are completely abandoned. Number third one, a monk has developed concentration tandem with insight, tandem, yoke together, two yoke together. As he developed concentration tandem with insight, the path is born. And when he pursue it continuously, his defilements are abandoned. How you understand the third way? Tandem, concentration and insight yoke together. This is mentioned in Majjhima Nikaya 111. Venerable Sariputta, he entered into first jhana, then he emerged from the first jhana, and he discerned the mental factors associated with first jhana as anicca, dukkha, anatta. For example, when a yogi enter into first jhana, at least they have five jhana factors, right? Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. There are also some other mental factors like pasa, contact, attention, manasikara, perception, sanya, and feeling, and so on. So a yogi, after emerge from the first jhana, he discerns each mental factors and see the impermanence of each mental factors, followed by dukkha, suffering of each mental factors, followed by anatta of each mental factors. Then he see these three common characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta, of each mental factors. And after that, he enter into second jhana again, stay in the second jhana for a duration of time. Then after he emerge from the second jhana, then he discern what are the mental factors in the second jhana. Exclude vitaka and vichara, napiti sukha ekagata, manasikara, attention, sanya, perception, and so on. Again and again, up to maybe third jhana, fourth jhana. Even first jhana is enough. It's mentioned in Anguttara Nikaya, even you have first jhana, you enter into first jhana, emerge and discern the mental factor associated in the first jhana as anicca, dukkha, anatta continuously. Until your wisdom gets matured, then the path is born. This is the third way. Concentration and insight yoke together or tandem. Okay? And the last way. There is the case where the monk's mind has its restlessness concerning the Dharma. In Pali word, we call upakilesa. The commentary say that restless concerning the Dharma refers to upakilesa. Upakilesa is corruption of insight. When the insight meditator, when he reach the fourth insight knowledge, udaya baya jnana, the knowledge of arising and ceasing, his insight becomes so sharp, so keen and so sharp, he sees brilliant light, and he has joy, and his effort is he has perfect effort, perfect mindfulness, and his mind is brilliant, he sees light, and so on. And at that time, because he has no enough knowledge to know this is corruption of insight, and he thinks he has achieved Nibbana. Therefore, we say this stage is corruption of insight. So, where monk's mind has its restlessness concerning the Dharma well under control, later on he realized this is just corruption of insight. I should keep on discern anicca, dukkha, anatta of the five aggregates or sense bases and so on. He should not stop short. He should continuously discern the three characteristics of five aggregates and move forward. This is what it means. Monk's mind has its restlessness concerning the Dharma well under control. There comes a time when his mind grows steady inwardly, settled down, and becomes unified and concentrated. In him, the path is born. And he follows this path, pursue it, develop it until the defilements are abandoned. So this is the fourth way. And I assume, I believe, I trust the number fourth one is Sutta Vipassana Yanika. We have two vehicles, one is called Samatha Yanika. Yanika means vehicle. Samatha Yanika. Another one is called Sutta Vipassana Yanika. Samatha Yanika use concentration as vehicle to liberation. Sutta Vipassana Yanika use pure insight to liberation. So I believe among these four ways, the last one is pure insight yogi, pure insight meditation. Number one, one, two, three is both mixing, both samatha and vipassana, both together. Okay, so among these four ways, you can choose whatever way you want. Okay, but in this retreat, I want you to explain both ways. Therefore, we should start with Anapanasati first. Why I choose this sutta to share with you, I just want you to have better understanding, not necessarily start with concentration first. As this sutta says, some people practice insight first, then samatha. So I don't want you to misunderstand that we have to start with concentration first, not necessarily. We can start with insight first, then go to the concentration. Or according to this sutta, maybe you can practice pure insight. Sutta Vipassana Yanika. According to maybe Satipatthana Sutta, four foundation of mindfulness, contemplation your mind, contemplation your feeling, and contemplate five aggregate without jhana. Okay? But for this retreat, let us start with Anapanasati. Yeah? So, all of you know how to practice Anapanasati, right? You know? Yes. How about? Yes. Everybody know, so I don't have to explain. However, I would like to explain a little bit, to make sure you practice correctly.
What is the Sutta Vipassana? What is Sutta?
Sutta. S-U-V-D-H-A. Pure. Sutta. Sutta. I think Stephen's pronunciation will be better than me. Okay, so to practice Anapanasati, Anapanasati, sati means mindfulness. Anapana means in-breath and out-breath. So mindfulness on in-breath and out-breath. To make this practice more successful, And through so many years teaching experience, including my own experience, you have to practice with very relaxed mind. Very relaxed mind, because the breath itself is very subtle. If you practice with tense mind, soon your mind get there will be a lot of tension in your head. So you cannot enjoy your meditation. So the first key for success is to practice with relaxed mind and yet a little bit alert. Don't lose your mindfulness. Practice with relaxed mind and yet the mindfulness must be constantly with the breath. To let the mindfulness constantly with the breath, you need one factor. That is constant effort to direct the mind, to direct your mindfulness on the breath. Please don't understand effort. Doesn't mean that you sit 6 hours, 10 hours, wow, you have so much effort, but you sit there restlessness, with restlessness. No, right? You should have constant or continuous effort to direct your mind on the breath. This is the effort I mentioned. I want you to apply in your meditation. Not to tense up your mind, then you say you practice with strenuous effort. Not that effort I refer. The effort I refer is continuous attention to direct your mind onto breath, not to lose your attention on the breath. This is called mindfulness. So what is the meaning of mindfulness? Don't forget the breath. It's called mindfulness. So this anapanasati, mindful of the in-breath and out-breath, means don't forget your in-breath and out-breath. Continuous attention onto the breath is this practice. Okay, so for the first day and second day, I would like to recommend you to practice pure concentration. Then the third day or fourth day, we can move to insight a little bit. So this is the first point you should bear in mind. Practice with relaxed mind, with continuous effort to direct your mind onto the breath, including walking, sitting, lying down, or doing your daily chores all the time. Just like you rubbing the two stones, when you rub the two stones to get a spark. So during sitting, you rub it, the stone become hot. Before getting spark, then you finish sitting, you go out, forget to be mindful of your breath. Then the momentum you have built up, cool down a bit, cool down, cool down. When you come to sit again, you rub the stone again, then the heat comes again. But before you get the spark, finish the sitting, you go out and walk and forget to be mindful, then the heat cool down again. To get a spark, you have to be mindful continuously and until you fall asleep for first day and second day. This is the second factor for success. First is practice with relaxed mind. Second, practice continuously in all postures. Okay? And the third, to keep your attention, there are two places where you should keep your attention. One is under the nostril. The second one is just in front of you. If you keep your attention at a tiny spot, it will cause some tension in your head. So it's better to enlarge that spot larger. And keep attention in front of you. Now you are breathing in and breathing out. In this way, you can practice in more relaxed manner. Okay. And the third, the fourth point that I need to mention is don't pay attention to the cold. Don't pay attention to the sensation of the breath. Sensation of the breath belongs to ultimate reality. Okay? Sensation means cold, hot, which is fire element. It's not the object of our observation. We just know it's the in-breath and out-breath, that's all. No in-breath and out-breath as concept. Okay? And if you feel restlessness, please count your breath. Breathing in, breathing out, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Count your breath until five, then come back to one again. Until you feel there's no more restless, then give up counting. So the rest I know, I think the rest you know how to manage yourself for this Anapanasati. Okay? So any question you have? Any question? No question, then let us stop here.